Mathematician, I long struggled with the fact that we are told that Jesus was crucified and after 3 days he rose from the dead. It is not the fact that the resurrection took place that made me struggle, but the arithmetic. You see, if he was put in the tomb on the Friday evening and left the tomb before dawn on Sunday, he was only in the tomb for 2 nights, not 3. In Matthew chapter 28, and thank you for reading that so well, Graham, we read that the two Marys went to the tomb. Mark tells us that this was to anoint the body of Jesus, there not having been enough time to do this when Jesus was laid in the tomb because of the start of the Sabbath. And that this visit to the tomb happened on the first day of the week, which was to the Jews Sunday. But Matthew actually wrote after the Sabbaths, i.e. Sabbaths in the plural. We know that every week the Jews had a Sabbath, a holy day of rest on Saturday, the last day of the week, in recognition of the fact that God created the heavens and earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. But when there was a Jewish holy day, that day was also a Sabbath. People assume that Jesus died on a Friday because the next day was a Sabbath. But there are scholars who will tell you that in AD 30, the year in which Jesus was crucified, the Passover Sabbath fell on a Friday. The Passover Sabbath, not the normal everyday week Sabbath. Telling us that Jesus died on the Thursday. The next day, the Friday being the Passover Sabbath, and this would mean that Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. Does it matter? He died, he rose from the dead. Matthew also tells us that there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. In the other three Gospels, we learn that the stone was already rolled away when the Marys arrived. There was no mention of the earthquake. This difference does not bother me, as we're dealing with human beings. I recently sat listening to a group of people describing what they had seen when they watched a short video. They all watched the video at the same time, but their descriptions differed. And just before this, they'd been shown a picture for a few seconds and asked to describe the people in the picture. There were only two people in the picture, one male and one female. Person A in the group described the male as wearing a white top, while person B described him as having a dark blue top. Person B said that the male had hair coming down to his eyebrows, but actually, looking back upon the picture, it was possible to see quite clearly the male's forehead. We're dealing with human beings. At the end of Matthew chapter 27, we read, "The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he's been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. Only Matthew mentions the guard, but all four of the gospel writers agree that the tomb was empty and the body of Christ was gone. What had happened to those guards? Matthew tells us that in fear of the angel, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Most, if not all of us, are familiar with this story. A story which we probably hear every year, but a story which to me remains amazing. The empty tomb tells us that Jesus is not simply a historical figure, not just a figure from the past, like other characters in this story, such as Herod and Pontius Pilate. I am fortunate enough to have visited Israel, the Holy Land, fortunate enough to have visited it before the walls were built to separate the Palestinians from the Jews. If you visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, in Jerusalem, you can see something which you are told is the tomb of Christ. And amazingly, part of the stone which was used to seal the tomb is still there. Crucifixions were actually carried out outside the city. And just outside the city walls, you can visit a garden in which there is a tomb. A tomb which is just like the description in the Gospels of Christ's tomb. A tomb which is not like a typical Jewish tomb of the day. Now the guardians of that place will tell you, this might be the place where the body of Christ was laid. But it does not matter, for we worship the risen Christ. And over the entrance to that tomb is a plaque on which is written, he is not here, he is risen. The tomb was empty. There was no body for the Romans to produce so that they could say, this is your so-called Messiah, what good is he now? And the Romans were desperate to have the disciples not steal the body. We read in the Gospel of Luke of two disciples walking the approximately 7 miles back to Emmaus from Jerusalem, talking about the crucifixion and the rumours of the empty tomb. Perhaps they were dejected, for so many had looked upon Christ as the Messiah, the one who would free Israel from tyranny. A man joined them on their journey, and not recognising him, and astonished, he did not seem to know anything about recent events, told him of what had happened. As it was getting late, and Jewish hospitality being what it was, the disciples invited the man to stay with them. As the meal was about to begin, the man took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And it was at that moment that they recognized him. Something triggered the recognition in their brains. They had felt something as he talked to them as they were walking along the road. And they said to each other later, did not our hearts burn upon us while he opened up the scripture? Despite the lateness of the hour, they were so excited that they hurried straight back to Jerusalem to share their experience. I wonder how eager we are to share the experience of knowing Christ. In Mark 16:5, we hear that a young man dressed in a white robe said to Marys, go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you. Jesus had gone ahead and was waiting for them. Jesus has gone ahead and is waiting for us. Jesus had gone ahead to Galilee, where many of the healings had taken place, where thousands were fed on very little, where walking on water happened, where new possibilities arose for people, where new possibilities arise for us. Christ is waiting for us. All we have to do is go. All that the disciples had to do was to go. Well, I say that all that they had to do was go, but they had a lot to take in. They had a lot of which to make sense. And they were now without the physical presence of Jesus, the one who taught them every day. The one who was a figure of authority in the group. The one who was not frightened to stand up to the Romans, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priests and the Herodians. The one who answered every question thrown at him, answering with wisdom. The disciples now had the challenge of facing skeptical Jews, hostile Jews. The Romans, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priest and the Herodians, without the physical Jesus by their side, or at least within easy reach. But Jesus had taught them his ways, had imparted wisdom to them. They had him as an example. Get up and go sounds easy, but it was not easy for the disciples. They were grieving and afraid. Were the disciples still thinking of those awful moments in the Garden of Gethsemane? Were they still thinking of the arrest of Christ, of how only Peter followed Jesus to the house of Caiaphas? Were they thinking of the scene where Christ was nailed to the cross? Did they not think that this is what he had told them would happen? Did they remember his words when he said, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him." Did they forget that he also said, 3 days later, he will rise? How easy it is for us to look on the dark side of things, to look at the negatives. Following on from the glorious scenes on Palm Sunday, the events of Good Friday must have left the disciples feeling deflated, because they were not looking at the whole picture, because they were not remembering what Christ had said would happen. How easy it is for us to remember the times when something went wrong and to forget those times when things went smoothly. Of course, the events of Good Friday are important. They are important because the death of Christ on the cross was the payment made for our sins. That was in the place of the sacrifices that the Jews made at the temple. The burnt offerings, the communion or peace sacrifice, the sin sacrifice, the trespass reparation sacrifice, and the daily burnt sacrifice. They are also important because unless Christ had died on the cross, by definition, he could not have been raised from the dead. And by raising Jesus from the dead, God was showing that he had, that he has power over death. To go to Galilee meant having to leave the safety of the house they were in and risking arrest. To go meant letting go of their fear that now that Christ had been crucified, all was lost. They were no doubt reliving in their minds the times which they had spent with Christ. They had to break free of their grief, of their fear. They were stuck in their grief as if there was no future. How often do we find ourselves in situations which we do not like and yet we feel we are stuck with? Have we been in a friendship which has come to an end and felt sad about the situation? Possibly only to find that we move on to a better, more mature relationship and friendship. Do you know of anyone who has said that they had not been enjoying their job during the lockdowns, which we experienced during the pandemic, decided to take the plunge, giving their notice and find another job? Some of those people needed a real push to make that decision, to take that action. And for some of them, it has been really successful. The death of Jesus seemed to bring an end to hope and joy and peace and love. And if the disciples had hung on to the crucified Christ, then the risk is that it would have been an end to those things. In fact, the death of Jesus was not the end. It was just the beginning. It was the beginning of the spreading of the gospel throughout the world. It was the beginning of the disciples standing on their own two feet, albeit supported by the Holy Spirit, It was the beginning of the disciples becoming leaders and training others. It was the beginning of the disciples putting into effect everything that Jesus had taught them. Christ is risen and metaphorically waits for us in Galilee, offering a new life where old rules are rearranged into new possibilities. New possibilities we can hardly imagine. All we have to do is to get up and go. But that means putting our hope in him. It means putting our lives in the hands of the risen Christ. The hands that Thomas needed to see before he believed the other disciples when they told him that Jesus had appeared to them. It means trusting him, depending on him, not on ourselves. We have to let go of the historical Jesus and follow the risen Christ. We have to let go of the past and embrace the future that only Christ offers, that only Christ can offer. We need to look for Christ in everything we do, in everyone we meet, in every situation we encounter. We have to look for Jesus everywhere and in everyone. We cannot leave any stone unturned. I remember a while back, people talking about whether, because of the pandemic, we would have to cancel Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not possible to cancel Christmas. It is possible to cancel any parties which have been arranged for some of us. It would be possible to not give any presents and to refuse to accept any presents, but it is not possible to cancel Christmas. Christmas is the time when we remember the birth of Christ. There is a clue, of course, in the word Christmas. But people have come used to thinking of Christmas as a time of parties, of the giving and receiving of presents, of spending time with family and or friends. And it's a similar situation with Easter. People think about Easter as being a holiday period. People possibly, particularly children, associate Easter with chocolate, usually in the form of Easter eggs. But you and I know that Easter is the time when we remember the death of the cross of Jesus Christ as payment for sins, as a bridge across the chasm that has opened up between us and God, and his resurrection demonstrating the power of God. We can now talk to God using Jesus as a mediator. We can now enjoy fellowship with God the Father, with Jesus his Son, with the Holy Spirit. If you enjoy eating chocolate, then I hope you'll be able to enjoy some in moderation at this time. If you enjoy meeting up with friends and or family, then I hope you'll be able to do so at this time. If you are able to spend some time away from work, then I hope you'll enjoy your relaxation. But my greatest hope is the hope that I have through faith in the risen Christ, the hope of everlasting life. Easter Sunday was not part of the early church. It was only introduced later. I wonder if we think about Easter Sunday on just one day of the year. Perhaps, possibly more through the period of Lent. Or perhaps even every day. The message of Easter is clear. This is a new day. Jesus has gone on before us and is waiting for us. He's not in the past or in tradition. He is in the future. If we choose to follow, we must keep our eyes peeled for signs of him. He is everywhere we go, showing us the way, if we but have eyes to see. The good news today is that we have never been and never will be alone in this world. Jesus is here, waiting for us to notice and to get up and follow him. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And the people all said, Amen. Amen. And we are going to sing a very short hymn, Jesus is Lord.